Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hey, thanks for being with us today. Janie and I are going to explore the riches of God's grace.
To the saints that are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Anytime you see that word in, that is a position of who you are in Christ. And notice he didn't say to the messed up sinners. He called them saints. They were being identified in who Jesus Christ was, and he had paid for them to be with him. And the Lord is not going to be inhabiting a bunch of sinners. That's why he came and gave us the cross, so that we could have a position of being who we are going to be for all of eternity.
Janie, our conversations are really challenging my Christian growth.
It is stretching me.
You know, I've really had trouble with grasping grace. I mean, we've talked about this over the past couple of years. We've talked about grace. I can grab grace for salvation. But beyond that, it's hard to not get caught up in the doing of Christianity.
Rather than just the being.
In the being mm-hmm. of Christianity. So
there is a chapter in the scriptures that I believe summarizes it for somebody that is just beginning to see what a resurrected life is about, what the heavenly man is about. And I say that in generic terms, we are woman to woman.
Okay.
And that is the fact that we have been given everything that we need to live life in a Christ-like manner by emptying ourselves of ourselves here.
Okay.
And letting the Holy Spirit control us. And then as he controls us, he will point us back to the Son. And as he points us back to the Son, we will see how to live the godly life.
Do you think that sometimes we hesitate to allow the Holy Spirit to indwell us and empty ourselves, and that concept maybe kind of freaks us out?
Well, you know, I've always wished the Holy Spirit could just put on a suit of clothes for a little while and just kind of talk to him face to face. But he assures me that my spirit and his spirit can commune. So there is a mystery. There are mysteries in the scriptures that the Spirit does have to just enlighten us to. And one of those mysteries is just understanding what it says in Colossians 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, we know we don't have a 6'3" person inside mm-hmm. of us,
right.
But he is inside of us via the Spirit. And how I used to ask this question, Lord, I know I'm going to die one day, and I know that my spirit is going to be with you, and I think you're going to have some temporary clothes for me until I get my resurrected body. But what's it going to be like in some sort of temporal clothes when it's my spirit that is communing with you? I want to know how to commune with you. You know, he's given us a couple of hints that we know we're communicating with him, and one of them is found in Ephesians 5 when it talks about being filled with the Spirit. And the way we do that is by wanting to sing songs with one another, spiritual songs. And so the fact that I look so forward to coming and spending a half an hour across the table with you talking about spiritual songs, spiritual blessings. I mean, we can talk about the Psalms, and we're singing one to another the praises of who Jesus Christ is. And when that is a passion and a burning desire, that is evidence that the Spirit has got a hold of our hearts. And then we talked, I think it was last week, about 1 Thessalonians 5. And you can't pray without ceasing. You can't rejoice evermore. You can't look to the goods of others without the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's a sham and it's an outward performance, and it'll surface sooner or later as to where the true character really is.
Well, Janie, every time I've asked you a question, you always take me to Ephesians.
Well,
Every time I'm asking a question about grace, you take me to Ephesians in just about every answer.
The thing I love about Ephesians is it is the first expression as well as foundation after we've got a handle on who we are in Christ in Romans.
Okay,
so if I was to take a new believer, I would probably give them some accelerated courses. I would first of all get them into John, just John. You know, the simplicity of the language with which John wrote the gospel mm-hmm. is great, and the examples it gives us of the Lord Jesus. Then I would take them to Romans, because that is your foundation for the New Testament believer.
Okay.
All right. And then I might swing them by 1st and 2nd Corinthians to say, look here, this is a lot of things you're not supposed to be doing.
What not to do.
All right, the most carnal church probably that was addressed that we have record of. And then Paul keeps talking about the gospel that he's been given. And not that it was something exclusive apart from the other apostles, but he was specially called to give this gospel of grace, this gospel of Christ in you, that hope. And that begins with the resurrected life as far as working it out. So in the first three chapters of Ephesians, I'm giving you a little crash course here. You've got the position, who you are. And then in the last three chapters of Ephesians, you've got how to walk the talk.
Okay.
So I can go into the first part of Ephesians and see what has been given to me to live a heavenly man by grace in agape love, being led by the Spirit.
In Ephesians 1, you have broke down into segments to show us.
Oh boy, I tell you what, you just have to read it verse by verse and it breaks it down. So shall we go to first of Ephesians 1?
Let's see it.
Okay, well, before we even get out of the verse 1, it says, to the saints that are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Anytime you see that word in, that is a position of who you are in Christ.
Okay.
Latch on to it. And notice he didn't say to the messed up sinners. He didn't say to the struggling people. He called them saints. Why could he call them saints when they still were not in heaven?
Right.
Because okay. they were being identified in who Jesus Christ was, and he had paid for them to be with him, and the Lord is not going to be inhabiting a bunch of sinners. Okay. That's why he came and gave us the cross.
Right.
So that
right.
we could have a position of being who we are going to be for all of eternity. So without offending anybody, I hope I won't, when we just say, I'm only a sinner saved by grace, then there needs to be another line, but I'm a saint living by faith.
Okay.
Okay. So first thing we need to know our position. Then grace to you and peace from God the Father. One of the ways we know we're moving on into a resurrected life is when we choose to live in grace and peace. Now, the enemy can send false peace, P-E-A-C-E, so we need to have the whole of Scripture to be sure we're not being blinded by a false peace.
Okay.
All right? It's the true peace, the peace that passes understanding, the peace you can have when everything around you mm-hmm. is chaos and troublesome and maybe very painful.
And you can't figure out why you're still at peace.
That's right.
It's indescribable.
And you've experienced that, isn't it? There's mm-hmm. just a quiet, if we could give our listeners, it's like a quiet settledness in the storm. You can feel the storm all around you, mm-hmm. but there's still just a quiet settledness deep within mm-hmm. that you can't explain.
Right, exactly.
All right. Then we start in with some clues to how we live this. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I read that and I'm seeing spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Okay, I'm looking for material blessings in earthly places.
Mm.
And then I'm disillusioned with what God is and who he is and what he can do, because yes. I didn't see the qualifier. spiritual blessings in heavenly places, not physical blessings in earthly places. Now, those can come, too. It's not going to be a life of just no blessings. No blessing. We are blessed daily. And I mean, Sharon, listen to how we talk. Listen to how I take my breaths. You can hear my breathing. That's of grace. The air that we breathe is free. I'll never have to pay for this air. But you know what? The people who reject Jesus Christ will one day pay a price at the great white throne of the very air that they breathed unto themselves and not for Him. Stop and think about that. Let that meditate. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places is where we get the strength and the freedom of everything that we have.
Okay.
Then we move on. Verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him. Oh, wow. When did He do that? When I accepted Him as my Savior? Ah, no. It says, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in agape love. We were discussed before the foundations of the world. Our name, our strengths, our weaknesses, our battles were all known by the triune God, and they chose us to be in their eternal family. I mean, that's worth sitting down and meditating on some evening. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, I've adopted some children physically here, and I know that we used to tell them our natural born children didn't really have a choice. They just came.
Yeah.
But you were selected. You were chosen to be adopted into our family. You have a special uniqueness that our own flesh and blood children don't have. And that gave them a comfort and an identity that they had not been cast out, that the parents that had rejected them had been a tool to get them here to planet Earth, but that we were really the ones that had adopted them, to choose them, to love them, and to grow them in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
That makes you feel pretty special.
Yes, when you've been chosen, mm-hmm. Yes. And yet, they had to come under the discipline and the rules of the home. Mm-hmm. They had to forsake a lot of the things that they had known previously in a very undisciplined lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so that was difficult for them.
Right.
And it was difficult for Bob and I. We used to say at night, will there be anything left of us after we get all these kids grown? So
well, we think about that in the aspect of our relationship with the Lord. You know, we have to forsake all our previous
paths.
Yeah.
Yes.
And start living under the rule and discipline of our Lord and Savior.
Yes. I agree. Then we have to look at that last part of verse 5, that we were predestined to the adoption according to His good pleasure of His will. So we need to go back and just reiterate that there is a purpose and a plan, and it is His will that He is building His family for all of eternity. And yet we have freedom, but we're just not free to pick and choose our merry way. That's where the Spirit comes in leading us and guiding us in the path that we could follow. And you and I know just from our relationship how when He is leading us, it is so smooth. It is so without stress and strain. We look back on maybe not seeing how it is that we're going forward, but when we discuss and turn around and look at where we are coming from, we can say that was the Spirit.
Yeah.
The timing, the purpose, the words, the open doors, it was the Spirit leading us. But going forward, we may be going forward through a thunderstorm or a tornado, and that's where we have to walk by faith. Then we go down to verse 6. I mean, every verse, Paul is just chalking full of what our foundation is as a person that can live a resurrected life. And he says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. So getting us saved, getting us into the family of God, And that word beloved, I'm going to give you a layperson's term for that word beloved.
Okay.
I love you so much, I cannot live without you. And I hear a few of our teachers say beloved, and that just warms my heart because I know what that means for being accepted in our beloved. And then I remember how we need to then accept one another the way we have been accepted. So I can look at you or my other friends and say, you are so special. My life is not full or complete without you. And if we can have those kind of friends here, this side of the grave, we are of the most blessed people on planet Earth to have true friends where we are accepted as beloved.
Mm, I like that term.
And
layman or otherwise.
Okay. And remember, when your spouse is irritating you, form your lips and say, beloved, that's fine. And then you'll know the Spirit has got control of the situation, even if your beloved is not.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Then we go on. And it tells us how in verse 7, in Him, again, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, to the riches of His grace. And I'm not sure that we will ever know the total riches of the grace here in practical experience. I think the riches of His grace will go on into eternity, and there will be no limit to what we will learn and know and enjoy in the riches of His grace. But there is a facet here, Sharon, that we can't pass over. We have been redeemed through His blood. And people don't like blood. It's glory. Yes, it was for the one who had to shed it, but it is beautiful for the ones who are the recipients of it. And again, a layman's term for redemption simply says, I have been bought out of the slave market of sin, never to have to return again. I'm free. You're free.
Yeah.
Because of the redemption that cost the Godhead everything. And we have been given that by grace as a gift.
Yeah.
When we dwell on our spiritual blessings, it makes you almost excited in your soul and in your spirit and even in your emotions. And it helps bring us out of that, the deeds of despair, depression, the discouragement that the enemy is constantly bombarding us with those fiery darts. Then, my word, do you want to comment on any of these verses in here? Or you just want me to keep rolling?
Well, I have comments, but I'm afraid it might take us off course. So.
Well, no, we can take a detour when we're talking about chapter one.
Well, I was just thinking about all the things that you were saying, and it's hard for us to get in our brain, our feeble little mind, all that God is and has done for us. You know, we talk about redemption and grace and blood and the forgiveness and everything that has been given to us. If we are trying to rely on our brains to take all that in and to process it and to put it into action in some way, we're going to fail miserably. It takes faith. That's what faith is. It really takes just a blind trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He says and all that He has done and receiving it by faith. That's where our struggle is, because we want to process it, figure it out, put it into practice, apply it, and make it work for our lives. And we just can't do that with our brain.
Well, and we need to understand that we're going to be met with a lot of combative resistance, because in Corinthians 1, it tells us that the natural man can't comprehend that. Mm. And I need to tell the listening audience right now, Sharon's sitting across from me, holding her head, trying to grab hold of the concepts that she's expressing. She's putting her whole self into this lesson. But it is a head-holding, mind-boggling experience. And yet, as we are graciously given the commands and we're able to see them working out in our life, then it's like holding your head saying, not in perplexity, but I can't believe this is so true. Mm-hmm. I can't believe the magnanimous truth that we have been given. And this is just one chapter out of God's message to his children.
No, that's not one chapter, Janie. You just did six verses.
Oh, okay. Well, we may be on this for the rest of the upcoming month. But the thing we need to, I think, and again, this is a memory statement, and I don't trust my memory totally, but I believe when I counted in just the first chapter, the positional verses of in him, by him, through him, to him, it's listed 18 times in one chapter, things that are secure for us that can never, 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 never be taken away. And so I go back to the saying of Winston Churchill, if that can never, 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 never be taken away, then we should never, 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 never give up.
Yeah.
And we may have to do some booting and kicking with our moods that don't want to come into alignment. We may have to endure emotions that are going to battle us. We may have to fight the good fight with the terrorists that say, you're getting too close to my domain and I'm going to concentrate on destroying you.
Well, Janie, and that really does give a full understanding when we think about how many times we have possibly fallen into sin or just messed up on things that we were trying to, you know, there I go with the word trying. You've taught me. I say trying and I catch myself every time now. But the things that we're trying or striving to overcome in our lives, and we mess up and then we give up. Mm-hmm. And we say, oh, well, I'll never succeed at this. And we give up on Christianity. We give up on our relationship with the Lord. We give up on living that life because we are trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to figure it out in our head. And it takes just trusting by faith and receiving that gift. And that is so hard for us to comprehend.
Well, and part of the reason is because we don't take into account what the Lord said he's already done for us. You know, in Romans 6:6, he said, I know you couldn't do that. So what have I done? I went ahead and crucified your flesh for you on the cross. Right. You were crucified with me. And people can't grasp a hold of that. But I wasn't a thought around anybody. Mm-hmm. I wasn't born. But he said, I did this in advance for you. And I could do it because I am God.
Right.
Okay. And then he says in Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let's not judge one another, but let's recognize that when that trying and striving comes, we can go back and say, wait a minute, that too has been given us as a victory via the cross, through agape love, and by grace.
Well, Janie, tell our listeners how they can receive that love, that grace, and that triumphant, victorious life by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord.
Very simply, we can do what it tells us to do is to rejoice that we have that privilege. We can pray a simple prayer from our head and our heart to saying, Father, we recognize what you've given us, but we will be forever understanding the depths of it. But we acknowledge that apart from you, there is no salvation. There is no plan and purpose for eternal life, for having a life with a family that is constant joy, constant peace, constant fellowship, relationship with you as our Father. So, Father God, accept me where I am today. Draw me unto yourself. Teach me your ways. Lead me in your paths. Surround me with your other children that can help me grow in grace and knowledge. And give me the ones that can live the resurrected life so that I might see who you are in others. And if you accept those truths, dear heart, today, dearly beloved, then simply say, Father, I accept, I trust, and in your Son's precious name, amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.